listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Outta Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ live, coast to coast, 6 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock here in Las Vegas. We got an action-packed show. It's Thursday. You can sniff the weekend, but you don't need to. Thursday night football. And for the first time ever, not one, but two best bets for me. Two best bets Thursday night at the end of the show, both on the big game. In studio, one of the pros who knows, Brad Powers. Fezzik with a study day, but we have his handicap on the Thursday night game. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to no more than their buddies. My personal promise, we will deliver the Vegas truth to you. But you can't have pros without Joes. He's in L.A. He's Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ. And we start on Straight Outta Vegas on a Thursday with the return of Melvin Gordon, who has ended his holdout officially with the L.A. Chargers. He was back on the practice field for L.A. earlier today, and his status is up in the air for this weekend against the Dolphins.
Yeah, I tell you something, Jonas. I know you're not very savvy with Vegas stuff, and we appreciate that when you bet. But I'm going to pull back the curtain a little bit and just the ambiance of the casino. And I'm going to explain something called a free roll. That's something we love in Vegas. Brad, you've been in Vegas 3 years now and change. What's a free roll?
Free roll is when there's no downside. You go ahead and play something, and what's the effect? It's a no-lose situation.
You either win or you break even.
Yes.
Now, we love that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And in the hedge funds, they call it a asymmetric player. Think about something being symmetrical. It's like you've got an upside, you've got a downside. No, I'm an asymmetric player. I create situations. The goal is where you win. And, even better is you win a little or you win a lot. But the worst case is, even if you lose a little, it's if you can win a ton and lose a little, that's asymmetric. That's not quite a free roll, but similar. Well, I believe Melvin Gordon lost, but I don't think he lost hardly anything. Yeah, he lost a few game checks, no doubt about it, and that matters. But in the scheme of things, who's the analog? Who was analogous doing something similar to Melvin Gordon? Zeke. And what did Zeke do? He held out. People said, oh, he shouldn't have went to Cabo. He should have went to Russia. Whatever they said, whatever I said, in the end, he's the highest paid running back in the history of the NFL. And you know something? We have no idea what he would have gotten paid if he had waited a year. And we certainly don't hope for it. He could have been injured. Who knows what could have happened? He won. Melvin Gordon made the same bet. He lost, but what did he lose? And to me, that's the problem, Jonas. Is the idea that the players can say no thanks to playing and the consequence isn't there. So it's like, who would, in a weird way, you'd almost be a patsy not to try this. And once the other agents understand that, and once the taboo is broken, right? It's like anything else. If no one's ever done it, you don't want to do it. But then once it's been done, it's like, well, this is the way it's done these days, Dad, kind of talk. And I think, and I'm not saying the players are all wrong. I'm saying whatever grievances the players have, whatever league we're talking about, whatever sense of legacy resentment there is for the mistreatment of athletes in prior generations, which I think it's fair to say mistreatment. We mentioned it. When Joe Louis is broke, there's something wrong. And, he was broke and passed away, obviously. So to me, let's get that taken care of, and let's get back to the sports themselves, because that's why we're fans. And that doesn't mean the owners should get all the money. It means let's make a deal that's fair. And then if someone complains about it, the talk show guys are comfortable saying, oh, no, 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 he's wrong. Because let's be honest, talk show guys are not part of the common man at the national level. I mean, I know I'm not. Come on. But the reality is that I grew up, my dad's a coal miner, my mom's a school teacher. You don't get much more normal than that. But the perception is, oh, he's on 200 stations. He's a different person. And it's like, okay, fine. And then you know what happens? People in my spot get afraid to sound different. And they don't, they want to, somehow the millionaire players are the working man and the billionaire owners are the man. And it's like, well, F the man, I'm with the people. It's like, well, it's not really the people. These are millionaires playing a game, but they're afraid to criticize them. And because of that, not ever, but I'm saying if it's like a labor issue, is it me, and you guys can answer either of you, Brad or Jonas, does it seem like on national radio, big local shows, that 85% of the time, the talk show guy's agreeing with the player?
Absolutely. I agree with that.
100%.
Why would that be? Like, what's the logic of that? I would make the case in the last year or two, the players have been more extreme than ever. So I'm not saying they're always wrong. I'm just saying it just seems crazy that they're always getting agreed with. And it's feeding the cycle of more of this stuff, more of this stuff. And I mean, the next one that we're going to talk about, Ramsey, I mean, it feels like we're reaching another level with Ramsey.
Yeah, and we continue on with the player empowerment theme here on Straight Out of Vegas to open up the show. Jalen Ramsey, another turn in the Jalen Ramsey saga in Jacksonville. First, it was he wanted a trade. Then it was he called in sick. Then his lower back and his hamstrings were tight. And now, the latest is he wants to be present for the birth of his second child, and the team does not know when he'll be back. So... that's
don't you care about kids, Jonas?
I do, absolutely.
Don't you respect the sanctity
of
the delivery room?
Yes, absolutely.
So don't criticize.
Look, no criticism. Just simply reporting the news here.
I mean, let's be candid. Our favorite board op, he was gone for a little while, right?
That's right. Johnny Ramos.
Doesn't he get that?
Yeah, Johnny Ramos took off.
It was painful for me when he was gone. I mean, it was like, you know, come on, how long has it been? But, hey, you got to be sensitive these days, apparently. I'm probably not as sensitive as the average person. I can't lie. I'm about results. But, boy, Jonas, you got to feel a little foolish. You were defending Rams. Hey, you said he could have a bad back, remember?
Yeah, I took the L on this big time. Yeah, I took it square on the chin. Well, look, when new information comes out, you can either continue to go down the same road and be wrong, or you can take a step back
and go,
I got lost
here. He is so right. Fezzik only knew that.
Yeah.
The whole country would celebrate. And to me, here's the question. What's going to happen to Ramsey? I'll tell you. He's going to get traded.
Yep.
That's what's going to happen, because what is the consequence for what he's doing? Free roll. Right? Well, he's not even losing game checks. You know, what would be funny, would be smart, is if you're Melvin Gordon, you should have showed up to start with and said, oh, my back.
Yeah.
I mean, this is like slip and fall stuff. I mean, you know, outside of a grocery store trying to get a settlement.
Yeah.
You know, like in tomatoes. You know, like give me like two big boxes of tomatoes, I won't sue. And it's funny, because you could say, well, RJ, they want to get paid fairly. I mean, come on. I'm not saying that there hasn't been in the past real unfairness. And I'm not saying there's not certain players that are underpaid. But do you know something? This is what no one says. There is a finite amount of money to pay the players. This is a hard cap league. The exact amount over any period of time or any length of time, meaning in short term, you can fall short some, but in any length of time, a team's obligated to spend a certain amount of money. Now, the question isn't, should Ramsey get more from the owners? Ramsey's getting more from the other players on his team. And that's what Jerry Jones was kind of hinting at with Zeke. He didn't go over the top with it. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm not a salary cap expert, there's a pie. And what we know for sure is a percentage of revenue from the NFL goes to the players. And that all goes into a pool. And that pool then gets split up on a team-by-team basis split amongst the players on the team.
Yep.
If Big Ben makes X, that's a little bit less, or maybe more than a little, that the other players don't get. So Ramsey's pretty much saying, not that I want this from the owner. He's saying he wants it from his other teammates. Maybe not this year's teammates, but future year's teammates. I don't blame him for wanting his share, or maybe as much as he can get. I don't even blame him for that. But this idea that it's some righteous crusade that, you know, the millions aren't enough, it's like the players in aggregate are getting a finite set amount. It's not about that. It's about the desire for wealth of individuals. That was pretty well said, I think.
Yeah, it was.
What do you think?
We should save that. F8 that in the back, guys, please.
Yeah, Ramo shouldn't be mad at me, right?
No, we're good. Yeah, we saved that. That'll be on the
tag
promo.
Tag it, baby.
Guys, it is Thursday Night Football coming up later on tonight. We have the Eagles at the Packers, an 8:20 Eastern time kickoff on Fox. And much of the discussion leading up into this game is, what is wrong with the Packers offense?
Jonas, did you hear for the first time in history, I've got two best bets on a Thursday night game?
I did. I heard that.
You excited?
Something tells me we're going to hear about it throughout the course of the show.
Well, from you.
Yeah,
because,
of course.
Exactly. That's your job.
I know.
You're like the wrestling manager. The grand wizard.
Freddie Blassie. That's me.
Hey, oh. Breakfast with Blassie with Andy Kaufman. You ever watch that?
No. Actually, I prefer. I'm more of a Bobby Heenan guy. I'll go Bobby Heenan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers, you know, I'm going to keep on the hot takes, but cold cash over hot takes, because this is factual. Aaron Rodgers is not near the quarterback he was, and Aaron Rodgers may be at most slightly above average. Now, that sounds crazy, but this is amazing. Yards per attempt, some would say it's an advanced analytic. I think it's a key analytic at minimum, and it's a matter of every time you drop back, on average, how many yards do you gain? And what are the two factors? The percentage you complete, because you can't gain yards if you don't complete a pass. And then it's how long the passes are. Now, you can look at advanced metrics and say, well, if you throw a screen and the guy gets 60 yards, it's like, yeah, but that's part of the offense. It's because you were going downfield at various points that you were able to throw the screen or whatever the interplay is between running, passing, short, and long. And when you have thousands of plays to look at over the course of multiple seasons, unequivocally, it's all going to even out. And here's what we know. From 2009 to 2014, that was six seasons. Aaron Rodgers had the greatest yards per attempt passing in the history of the NFL. Its average, each year has its own average, but during this six-year period, the average is about 7 yards per attempt, a little bit above that. His average during those 6 years, each of the years, was 8.2, 8.3, 9.2, 7.8, 8.7, 8.4. Above by almost a yard or over a yard, 5 of the 6 years, almost a yard the 1 year. Over the average. Every time he passed, he gained 1 extra yard. Think about that. That's winning. Wow. That's the definition of winning. In the time since, 5 years, counting 19, Aaron Rodgers' yards per attempt compared to the league average in 2015, below by 0.6. 2016, above by 0.1. 17, below by 0.1. 18, below by 0.1. 19, below by 0.5. So literally, if you add up the last 5 years, Aaron Rodgers is below average against the NFL, against Kaiser. I mean, just go down the list that we're talking about here, and he's below average. The six prior years, Aaron Rodgers was the greatest passer this league's ever seen statistically. That's the best yards per attempt we've ever seen. How someone can go from the greatest in a stat that is maybe the one stat that matters most for quarterbacks down to below average. And everyone's afraid to say this guy. Now, listen, he still can run. He's still a savvy game manager. He still will have his moments. But you add it up. These are thousands of passes. Yep. This isn't small. This is the opposite of small sample. Aaron Rodgers is not an elite quarterback anymore. Our eyes are telling us that, but we don't want to believe it. The numbers unequivocally say that it's true. When we come back, we're going to talk about how Tom Brady can affect games on Twitter. He doesn't even need to play in them. And oh, by the way, if you haven't heard, first time ever, two bets, and Aaron Rodgers is involved Thursday night. End of the show.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, you will not believe who is creating change in the NFL.
Yes. I mean, imagine being from your couch, Jonas, and being able to change the league with a tweet. That's power.
Yeah.
That's something to aspire to for you.
That's something that never happened for me.
You would love being like the czar of sports, right or wrong?
I'd be great. I'd love to have that much power. It's just not happening.
You're saying you would be great or it would be great
for
you?
It would be great. It would be great for me,
the rest of us would suffer.
Yeah, of course.
Thanks for joining us. Each weekday, we try to give you a little flavor of Vegas. You can listen to 200 FSR stations across the nation. FoxSportsRadio.com, iHeartRadio app. Also, Sirius XM and podcast. Just search for RJ Bell. Right now on the Vegas Strip, it's 87 degrees and the neon is flowing.
So, RJ, last Thursday night, Tom Brady voiced his displeasure with some of the calls during Thursday night's game between the Titans and the Jaguars, and even said on social media that he was done watching the game. He was turning it off because of what he was watching. And so, lo and behold, it caused enough changes that you guys in Vegas took notice of it over the weekend.
Yeah, the Ringer had a good article about this, and what they did was they broke up the games from games in that came before Brady's tweet and after Brady's tweet, and it was that Thursday game entering week three, and wow, the holding calls got cut in half. So there was a real emphasis this year on a certain type of backside holding call. And it's read the Ringer article. I actually tweeted it out at RJ in Vegas on Twitter. And they just thought this was a danger. And actually, the Rams were the team that were doing this block oftentimes. They were kind of an innovator with it. And, you know, anti-Rams, who knows? But the league said, okay, we want to stop this to some degree. And they said, let's emphasize this. Well, apparently what happened was the referees are saying, I'm looking more closely for holding. Well, if you start looking for things, you ever buy a yellow car or a kind of a different colored car, and all of a sudden you start seeing that color car around?
Yep.
Like, it's in our minds, and holding went way up. Now, here's the question. How is holding and scoring correlated? And to me, it's pretty simple. Offensive holding hurts the offense. So I did a little bit of analysis here, and what we looked at was how the scoring versus the Vegas spread, the over-under, because that's expectations. That's the beautiful thing. Even if you don't gamble, you can just assess if a team exceeded expectations or not by how they did against the spread. If a team's favored by three and they win by four, Brad, how'd they do? They exceeded expectations, obviously. And if the total was 44 and the teams end up scoring 40 points.
They went over the total.
Yeah. Well, in that case, they went under 44 and they scored 40.
Thank you. Jeez.
Well, listen, we're getting to your You thought that was an NFL question and it threw you, right? So now you're going to get your colleges coming up in a minute. So what we have here is, if you look at before Brady's tweet, those games, 12 overs, 21 unders. So against the Vegas perspective, 12 overs, 21 unders, and points per game, more than 3 points per game less than expectation. After Brady's tweet, 9 overs, 5 unders, 1 push, over about 2 points per game over expectation. So think about that. Handicappers out there aspiring professional batters, pros who know you want to be, who amongst you was thinking about, wow, I better be careful with my unders this week because the holding calls were deflating the scores early. And now after Brady's tweet, they're in not inflated, but maybe back to normal. I better consider that with my over-under handicapping. Not many.
Not many, like less than 1%, I'm guessing.
And I think it's an example. We happened to stumble on the article, but it goes to show you, if you want to be a smart sports fan, if you want to be a winning bettor, it's pretty much the same approach, which is you got to gather the information and decide what is important. What I know is it's a small sample size sense, but boy, the numbers tell us the holding call is going down or increasing the scoring, and that matters if you're betting the games.
From the NFL to college football we go, and RJ, there are some big teams in college football that have actually been changed by unfamiliar names.
Yeah, so to me, this was a great, I think The Athletic had this, and there's three big programs. So Brad, all the college knowledge, what are the three programs to start with that were really affected by young guys?
Yeah, LSU, Ohio State, and Oklahoma, RJ.
Now, those are big three
right now. They're all in the top six right now.
All in the top six. Now, let's go team by team quickly, but I do think it's interesting that there are these reoccurring themes, which are youth. These are young guys. So let's start with The Ohio State University.
So The Ohio State University went youth movement, not only at head coach Ryan Day, less than 40 years old when he got the job, but also on the defensive side of the ball. They have a co-defensive coordinator by the name of Jeff Hafley. Who? Well, Jeff Hafley comes over from the 49ers, had previously coached with Ryan Day in the past. Jeff Hafley's 39 years old. So what has happened with Ohio State's defense, which was a major issue last year? RG, I can make a strong case, and the numbers back this up. Ohio State has arguably the most improved defense in the country this year.
Well, I think you're right in that Ohio State looks great, and we'll actually be talking about them in one of the big games of the week right after the news here in a few minutes. Team number two, let's go with OU, because obviously you want to talk about young coaches as head coaches, Lincoln Riley, ton of success so far.
Yeah, we kind of briefly touched on this a few weeks ago. So what did Lincoln Riley do? He went out and got Alex Grinch, a guy that was a former defensive coordinator for Mike Leach. What does Mike Leach and Lincoln Riley have in common? Well, Lincoln Riley started off his career under Mike Leach, very familiar with the air raid. And why is this important, RJ? Synergy. If you're an offensive-dominated team, or if you're an offensive-dominated head coach like Lincoln Riley is, you need somebody that's going to have good synergy on the other side of the ball. Lincoln Riley didn't have it last year. That's why Oklahoma is one of the worst Power 5 defenses in the country. Has better synergy this year with Alex Grinch.
Now, synergy is a fun word. It's one of those corporate speak words. So when I think about synergy, I'm thinking 1 + 1 = 3. Things go well together. But I think we should deep dive a little bit on what we mean. Have you ever noticed that the great offenses never have even good defenses? Right? I mean, think about it. When has it ever happened? Can you think of it?
No.
Because that would be the best team ever. Well, you would think, well, wait a minute. Oklahoma can recruit out the wazoo. Why can't they recruit great defenses? I think maybe they do. It's just the perception is they're not great. Because when you do have an offense, you know, you said offense-oriented. Yeah, I do think that they're offense-oriented, but I think the key is the pace of the offense.
Yes.
The fact that there's so many plays that are going to be run in a Chip Kelly system, an air raid system, Leach, and now Lincoln Riley and others. So if you're a normal defense, it's going to be like you're playing a game and a half in a way. And what happens at the end of games? We see that all the time. Yeah. No matter the pace, the defenses struggle.
Yeah, struggle. They get tired.
If you're playing at a greater pace, you're going to get tired sooner. Thus, if you have a defensive coordinator that understands that dynamic, and whatever they do to counteract it, some of it might be an emphasis on conditioning.
Yep, and that was the case for Oklahoma this year. Alex Grinch talked, his key word was condition. We need to be better conditioned team than what they were in previous years.
Some of it might be mentality, as in, we're going to give up some points. We're just going to score more. Because it's one of those things where if you feel like you're a failure, it's harder to succeed the next time. If you set the bar differently, guys, we're not going by the old 85 Bears mentality. That can help. And let's be candid. If it was as easy as I could figure out from 1,000 miles away, everyone would do it. There's things we don't even understand about that synergy. But I do believe that we're going to find out in the next 10 years, one of the trends is the defensive coaches who understand how to be the other side of a great offense that's at high pace, it's going to be a key skill. And I think these young guys get it because they grew up with this offense.
Yeah.
That's all they know. Right? So it's another example of the youth movement. We got one more. We're going way down south.
Yeah, we're going to LSU, and it's on the offense side of the ball. Joe Brady, the new co-OC, only 30 years old, comes over from the Saints. And what has he done for LSU? Remarkable, RJ. LSU goes from a stagnant offense to leading the nation in scoring, averaging this year so far 58 points per game, and arguably have one of the Heisman favorites now.
Well, there's no argue. I mean, he's amongst the favorites with the odds.
Joe Burrow goes from 200-1 in the preseason to now 4-1 as far as the Heisman odds go.
Head coach Orgeron, I got to be candid. I was a fan of his. You not so much?
I wasn't so much.
So what have you seen now that you were wrong about?
Well, look at Orgeron. He was more known as a player's coach, more of a recruiter than an X's and O's.
You don't care
guys.
About the players' welfare?
I do. Fair enough. But I got to give him credit because he's more of an old school type of guy, and his former offense coordinator, still there, was like a 60, nothing against age, but he was like an old school mentality. Like
you got to love the kids and the old people.
Yeah, I got to love everyone. But anyway, I give him credit for going outside the box. LSU's had this sense of this aura about them that they, you know, great defense, bad offense. Now it's kind of reversed.
Here's the question. Why young? Why is this a youth movement? Why isn't there 40-some-year-olds coming in doing this kind of thing? To me, anytime there's innovation, the youth have an advantage. And here's why. They don't know anything else, as I just said. And you think about it. Imagine if you're attempting to write an app, develop an app. If you're 40-some years old, I'm in my 40s, you're going to be like, oh, I remember. Yeah, I got a cell phone, baby. But it's like most of your life, you didn't have a cell phone. If someone's 22, that's all they know. And being native to the current reality has huge advantages. There's a second, I think it's less discussed, which is platforms for learning are so much they benefit so much from technology. If you want to learn to play chess, what did you do 30 years ago? Dad, you want to play chess? Or you try to find a buddy to play. Now you could have speed chess. Show me this opening. You're playing against a computer. And then you go online and discuss with somebody in the Ukraine that you met online about the game you just played. And he said, oh, you should read this book. Just the communities of practice is one of the phrases that's used in the literature. Anything you want to be, a surfer, whatever it is, it's so much easier to learn now, poker player, than it used to be. And even sports betting, up at pregame.com, we've got a community of people that are talking handicapping at all times. It's free to post, and I think it's one of our great features at the site. So in general, it's always the battle between youth, which is energy, which is a fresh eyes, versus experience. I think that's always been a pretty fair battle, if not the age having the edge. I think that's changing. And what a coincidence. Younger and younger head coaches and assistants are making a difference. And now with the biggest teams in the country.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Straight Outta Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up in 12 minutes from now here on FSR. If you are a fan of history and you want to be a part of history, for the first time in the history of this show, RJ Bell will give out not one, but two best bets on Thursday Night Football. That 12 minutes from now here on Fox Sports Radio. I'm Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan. He is the history maker and the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
You know something? To me, it's about the people. I want people to benefit. And well,
this is the game that people are going to talk about for years to come.
Well, if we go 2-0, they will. All right, Brad, we are going to talk the biggest games. Now, I could say what the biggest games are, but it wouldn't be near as good as Jonas saying it. So, but we're going to talk the three biggest games of the week.
And guys, let's start 7:30 Eastern time kickoff in Lincoln, Ohio State at Nebraska. The Buckeyes are a 17-point favorite right now on pregame.com.
And I like Nebraska here plus the 17. Let's talk history here since we're already, you know, kind of mentioning it.
Are we sure you like Nebraska only at plus 17?
Great point, RJ. And should I lead with that?
I think whatever you think will ingratiate yourself to me, Ben.
Well, I was going to tease a little bit of history here because we have an historical line. It's the second largest home underdog role for Nebraska since 1980. And usually when we talk about historic lines, they're outliers. What do outliers mean, RJ? Usually I like to play against outliers because they represent an overreaction in the marketplace. And let's face it, Ohio State's been dominant. They've covered their last three games by a combined 72 points. And because of that, I think this line's inflated. I like and bet Nebraska plus 17.
But you actually liked and bet them earlier this year. In the summer lines, you kill it. And it's a situation where I'd say 9 out of 10, you get the best of the number. Meaning what you bet in June and July is better than what you can bet come the football season.
Yep.
But occasionally there's an exception.
And this would be the exception. I bet Nebraska about 3 months ago plus 10. Not good.
On Twitter, I said, hey, if you want to double down, and everyone seemed to want you to, but
it ain't going to happen, RJ.
Now, here's what I'm going to say. We've talked about, I've been optimistic about the Buckeyes, but we came up with our podcast, we did a deep dive, some numbers that really speak to Ohio State might still be underrated.
Yeah, and it goes in how Ohio State's scoring. It looks like they're taking the foot off the gas pedal. So what we broke down, RJ, you and I did this, and did it. I loved it. It was like making the sausage scrap piece of paper. Ohio State typically scores less in the second half of games than your typical teams that are winning by about 45 points a
game. Yeah, so their average score, the Buckeyes' margin of victory was 45. So yep. We took through, I think we went from 2010 onward because the modern era of passing. And typically in the second half, the percentage of points being scored by a team that's winning that much, Ohio State's percentage was significantly less.
Yep.
Which implies, and we saw it with our eyes, they're not trying to run it up. They did get 70-some last week, but even you watching the game said they were just handing the ball off. It wasn't like they were trying to run it up.
Yep.
I think they still got some horsepower left, the Buckeyes. And I know that seems weird because they've been so dominant. But still, I think Buckeyes underrated right now. I disagree with. What's the current line?
17.
You know something? When we come back, we're going to finish the big games. And I'm probably going to press the green button on Brad and bat him. And oh, by the way, history being made with my best bet on Thursday Night Football.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox, and this is the pregame show you always wanted, and it's money-making time next here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. We continue to look at the three biggest college football games this weekend. Game number two, Virginia at Notre Dame, a 3:30 Eastern time kickoff in South Bend on Saturday. Right now, the Irish are a 12.5-point favorite.
When Jonas started moving to the next game, Brad, I could see you got excited.
I did.
You thought you were going to avoid the pain. Well, here it comes, the pain. So I'm taking the Buckeyes, laying the 17. Whenever you hear that sound, it's the green button being pushed. It's green. It's a button. It makes a sound. It's got a dollar sign on it, and it means it's an auto bet. Because let's be candid, when the other talk shows are wrong, it doesn't mean anything. They still get paid. When we're wrong, we not only don't get paid, we pay. And Brad, I'm going to make you pay. That's the goal. I'm taking the Buckeyes. You got Nebraska. Now, second game, who you like?
Yeah, I don't like Eileen in this case. Eileen Virginia plus 12.5. And to me, it's more of a play against Notre Dame off that very physical game against Georgia last week.
Listen, you had Georgia.
Yeah, I did.
Last week. What did you get wrong?
I got wrong. Notre Dame's rush defense held up at the point of attack much better than I expected. But because of that, that game was much more competitive and much more physical than I expected. And that might actually go against the Irish this week.
Okay. What I like, and if you bet half times, and that's niche, is if this game is not a blowout. Because if it's a blowout, Virginia won't be able to be very physical. Meaning if it's Notre Dame blowing out. But other than the Notre Dame blowout at half, I like Virginia because if that physical fatigue for the Irish shows up, it's going to be in the second half, you think.
And it's funny you bring that up. Virginia's a much better second half team this year. First half, they outscore their opponents by only 4 points per game. Second half, RJ, 13 points per game.
In physical teams, that's often the case.
The third of our top three games in college football this weekend, USC is at Washington, 3:30 Eastern time on Fox. Right now, Washington, a 10.5-point favorite.
Now, we do two things early in the week. On Tuesday, you give your early line move. Now, that's supposed to do two things, ideally. One is win, cover. But number two, the line's going to move against you, so you bet it early. So you had this game as your early line move. The line was 10. It's up to 10.5, and you laid it, so you were right about the move so far. Give us the quick handicap on the game.
Quick handicap for me is I think it's a massive coaching mismatch between Chris Peterson, who I think is one of the top five coaches in college football.
Three.
Clay Helton, there's a reason when he's on the hot seat, especially when he's in the underdog role, RJ. 3-11 against the spread, failing to cover the spread by 8 points per game. I like Washington here.
Yeah, they struggle on the road. They struggle as dogs, USC. You bet it, and anyone listening that wanted it had it at 10. It's now 10.5.
Kickoff a little over an hour from now on ESPN. College football sees Navy at Memphis. Right now, Memphis an 11-point favorite on pregame.com.
So Navy obviously runs the option offense. It's a quirky offense, so I like teams that have extra time to prep for this offense. Memphis coming off a bye, and oh yeah, by the way, Memphis really good, especially their head coach off a bye. Last seven times, 7-0 against the spread, average cover by 10 points per game. I lean with Memphis here.
Why only a lean?
It's only
that was
a
like
lean.
A lead up to a big bet.
It's only a lean because I don't know what I got with Navy this year. They've only played two games, and they've been mighty impressive compared to last year.
But you would think that's built into the line.
It is.
Yeah, maybe you should be firing.
Yes.
Now, quick question. Does Memphis play the option every year?
They
that's
do.
Another, being familiar with it helps.
And this is why it's only a lean for me. They play Navy every year, and they've struggled against Navy each for the last 5 years.
Check out the big brain on Brad.
All right, it's time for a little bit of history on the show, and we go to Thursday Night Football on 8:20 Eastern Time kickoff on Fox. It is the Eagles at the Packers. Green Bay, a 3.5-point favorite on pregame.com.
Now, I told you earlier in the show, Aaron Rodgers, the numbers say yards per attempt. For 6 years, he was historically good. Last 5 years, below average. Numbers, they can lie, but not when they're this big, they don't. So why am I betting pick number one of my best bet history, Green Bay? It's easy. There's a trend, and Brad, you were talking about this, and we had been talking about Thursday night road teams and stuff for a long time. But this is an eye popper. Home teams on Thursday have an intrinsic advantage. Now, what is that intrinsic advantage? It's because, and it makes a ton of sense, there's less prep time. It's 3 days instead of 6 days to prep. And if you have to travel, it naturally cuts into your prep time. Home teams win blind 56% of the time. Home favorites win even more, 61.5% of the time. Home favorites on Thursday. Why? I think favorites in general have an advantage. The better team means, hey, let's just suit up and play. The better team usually has that advantage. If you got a couple weeks, a Belichick, a young Belichick can do wild things. Non-division home favorites even better, which is what Green Bay is. Why? Because you have to be familiar with the other team to do it on short rest. If neither team are familiar, non-division, then the team that has more prep time, the home team, has an advantage. If you go back 30 years, home favorites out of division, 70% against the spread. And we're talking 70 games. That's why I like Green Bay. Number two, I like over 46. And here's why. If you think of the teams that Green Bay has played and think, are they offensive teams or defensive teams? The Bears, defense. Broncos, defense. Vikings, more defense. So what's the narrative? Oh, Green Bay, offense stinks. Now, I get it. Aaron Rodgers isn't what he used to be. He's still slightly above average at minimum. I think that this narrative of how great the Green Bay defense is isn't true, and how bad the offense is isn't true. On the other side of the ball, Philly's beat up everywhere, but especially on defense. They've lost Darby now, their cornerback, and they got Jeffrey back. So I think the offense happens on both. That's why I like the over. Now, this is not a parlay necessarily. Two separate bets, Green Bay and the over.
If you missed any of today's show, check out the podcast at foxsportsradio.com and get to it before kickoff. We are straight out of Vegas. We are back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Straight out of Vegas!